Hello, everybody. I hope you're all well, and welcome back to Voice Notes with Jo and Teresa, and welcome to the first ever installment of Voice Memos, a new series over here on Voice Notes with Jo and Teresa, where they are very short, you know, 10 to 20 minute long episodes where I just run my mouth a little bit. Also, I just realized Boots's fountain is on, and I feel like you might be able to hear it. So I'm going to switch that off for 1 second. I don't even know why I have that water fountain for her. She literally never uses it. I leave her a glass of water as well because I've never seen her drink out of it. She used to drink out of it, and then I ended up just, she preferred drinking out of glasses. And then recently, to be fair, I think it's because I'm giving her quite a lot of wet food that she's not drinking a lot of water. And it's like making me concerned, but like she's healthy. She's completely fine. I think I'm just like I'm a worried cat mom. I know that I said when I spoke, oh, first of all, I want to thank everyone that thought of name suggestions for the series. I went with voice memos because I just thought, oh, so good. I even replied to the comment like, this is so good. But I did also really like leave a message after the tone. That was such a good one, but it was just a little bit too long. But I'm definitely going to save leave a message after the tone for something else. I'm going to copyright it. And I know I said for this series that I was just going to like jump straight into it with my topic, but sorry, but if you came up to this podcast and you thought that I was like capable of not running my mouth, you're wrong. I also thought for voice memos, we could sort of chill a little bit, go somewhere else in the house, you know. So this is, I'm at my sofa. This episode is brought to you by Dyson. I'm only joking, but my Dyson Hoover is in the back, which I did, my mum. So basically, my mum was like, do you want my Dyson Hoover? And I was like, ding dong, yes, fucking please. I want the Dyson for free. I want a Dyson Hoover. So she gave it to me. It was great. So lightweight, like loving life. And then it just stops working. Like it stops charging. It won't switch on. And I'm literally like, oh, like bear in mind, I had it for a week and I phoned my mom and she was like, you've broken it. Da, da, da. Like, of course she just goes and blames me straight away. And then I ended up ringing Dyson. They were like, oh, you have a dead battery. And also the body sound, like the body of the Hoover sounds like it's broken. So we're going to need to send you a new body and a new battery. And luckily it didn't end up being that expensive. I ended up paying about 60 quid altogether for like a brand new body and a new battery because they gave me discount. But it was just funny because I was actually like, thanks, mum. You gave me a broken Hoover and then I had to pay to repair it. But to be fair, it's much cheap. 60 quid is much cheaper than how much those bad boys cost. I don't even know how much that one is, but like the good Dyson Hoovers are like 400 quid. So shout out Larissa. Thanks, mum. But yeah, I know that I said that I would jump. I'm actually filming this episode. I'm sorry, I can't not run my mouth. Sorry. But I know that I said for this episode that I was going to, not this episode, sorry. I know that I've been saying about how like, oh, I have like a recording schedule. I'm going to record these every Friday. I'm actually filming this on the Tuesday, the day before this episode's meant to go up, because I had a pretty action-packed weekend. I went to Waterworks Festival in Gunnersbury Park. It was so good. Shout out to the absolute queen who came up to me and said that she listens to the podcast and watches my videos. Love, because I remember I looked at her and I thought she looked so stunning and beautiful, and then she came up to me and said that she listens to my podcast and watches my videos. Like, hot girls listen to the Jo and Teresa podcast. Oh my god, Jo and Teresa podcast, whoopsie. Hot girls listen to Voice Notes by Jo and Teresa. It's just a fact. But yeah, I had such a blast. But obviously I had the post-festival blues the day after. And to be fair, one thing that I do really like about going to festivals, and I'm really sad that festival season is over, is that the hangovers just aren't nearly as bad as like when you go to Fabric or Fold and like you leave and it's light outside. Like, painful, like the birds are chirping, you're in the Uber, you get in bed at like 8 a.m. Like, one thing that I like about festivals, so everyone went to the afters, but I was exhausted. Like, guys, my legs have never hurt so much. Like, my shins, I had shin splints. I don't know what shin splints are, but I can imagine that's what shin splints feels like. And my legs were aching so badly. So I ended up going, me and Adam ended up just going straight home from, I think we got the bus to Shepherd's Bush. And I got in, I was in bed nearly asleep at midnight and it was great. And then the next day, you know, I was feeling a little bit fragile, but it wasn't like anything awful. Like I could get up and I could go, like, I went to the shop and like picked up some stuff. I went to Costa and got a frappe and a toastie. Like, clearly I wasn't in that much of bad shape. That's what I really like about festivals, is that it's all during the day. I'm really, really going to miss that. Sorry, my Alexa's going off. But yeah, no. So I had a great time. And now it's autumn, and whoever prayed away that heat wave that we have, you will pay for your crimes, because I was loving the summer and now it's all overcast and gloomy. But you know what? It's okay. I don't get the seasonal blues that badly. I get sort of the seasonal blues when it gets to sort of February, March time, when the sky is still cloudy. If the sky is blue, I actually don't care. It's really strange. It's not, you know, the dark evenings don't bother me. The dark mornings don't bother me. It's the cloudy grey sky that really gets under my skin. I'm a blue sky girl. If I wake up in the morning and the sky is blue, I am just immediately happy. The sun doesn't even need to be shining. It doesn't even need to be warm. I love it when it's like really, really cold, but like the sun is shining and the sky is blue. Like, yeah, that's great. So I'm looking forward to it. And also something which is good about the autumn and the winter is that you get to pull out all of your old clothes that you haven't worn in ages. I can't wait to wear my Ugg boots again. I love my Ugg boots. So yeah, what are we talking about today in this little episode of Voice Memos? I want to do these little episodes because sometimes there are things that I want to talk about that would not take up an entire podcast episode. And also, even though me and Jack last episode were talking about like the death of medium form content, I do think that there is like a use for just these very quick 10, 15, 20 minute long podcast episodes, because like sometimes you just want to nip to the shop and you just want to put a podcast on, you don't want to dedicate to a full hour. Sometimes you're just like chilling in the morning, you're like, I don't want to dedicate to the full hour long podcast episode, let me just stick on this 15 minute one. But what I wanted to talk about quickly with you guys today was the whole like phenomenon. Is it a phenomenon? No, it's just like the human experience. Basically, recently, I have been getting like waves of like, I don't know whether, oh, there's a magpie. I don't know whether nostalgia is the right word, but like waves of like reality hitting me that I will never be a teen girl again. And it's interesting because I find the whole topic of like being a teen girl, I'm a 25-year-old teen girl, I will never be a teen girl again. Something which really caught my eye was a TikTok that was like the fear, like me enjoying my life and then like the realization I'll never be a teen girl again. You know, things like that. Like, why do we feel nostalgic for our teen years? And also, why do we still feel like teenagers sometimes? I personally don't feel like a teenager. I don't feel the same way that I did when I was a teen, like not at all. Like the person that I am now to the person that I was when I was a teenager is, in personally, I think it's like night and day. Like it's so different, because my life experience was so different when I was a teenager. But I wanted to talk about being nostalgic for teen years, and I also wanted to talk about this whole I'm a 25-year-old teenager trend. Is it the Gen Z version of I'm bad adulting? So feeling nostalgic for your teen years. Now, something which I find quite interesting is that, so first of all, the whole thing with nostalgia, I remember Jack taught me this and I've literally never forgot it, is that nostalgia comes from the Latin word, I think it is, of nos, which means something that you want but you can't ever go back to. So I think, and again, I'm absolutely retelling this wrong because Jack told me this ages ago, but basically soldiers would go out to war and they would have like nos for home, or nostalgia for home, because that was something that they could never go back to. It would never be the same. And that's the thing with nostalgia, which makes it really an interesting phenomenon, is the fact that we feel nostalgic for things. Like there's such a big difference between feeling nostalgic for something and missing something. You know, like I can miss my boyfriend. My boyfriend's at work right now, and I miss him and I can't wait for him to come back home. But when he comes back home, I know that he is going to be the exact same person. It's going to be nearly the exact same how it is every single day when he comes home. I'm really excited and that's that. But I sometimes feel nostalgic for our honeymoon period, right? So our honeymoon period was like the first, I'd probably say the first like 6 months that we were officially boyfriend and girlfriend, where, or to be honest, our honeymoon phase lasted a pretty long time, probably the first year before we like fully lived together, where before he would come round or before I would go around his, I'd get butterflies in my stomach. We would stay up all night talking. We'd be shagging all the time, like stuff like that, right? And even though it's not like I'm like, oh God, being in a long-term relationship, so tough. I love being in a long-term relationship. But I feel nostalgic for that time because you can never recreate the honeymoon phase. And I know that people love to say, oh, well, when you're with someone that you really love, every day feels like the honeymoon phase. No, do you live with your partner? Because no, it fucking doesn't. But do you know what I mean? Or like, I miss my mum and my stepdad. I miss my mum and my stepdad. They don't live far away from me at all. They live on the outskirts of London. Like, they're literally 10. I am a 20-minute journey away from my parents. But I miss my mum and my stepdad, right? But I feel nostalgic for when I used to live at home. And I feel nostalgic for sometimes that first like 6 months of lockdown where we were all sort of at home. And obviously it was like a horrible time, not to like glamorize the pandemic or anything, but we obviously like were trying to make the best of a bad situation. You know, so there's a really big difference between missing something and feeling nostalgic for something. And I think it was Keelan Moncrief actually posted something, I think it was on her YouTube, where she said that she will never be able to recreate like living with her sisters again, and that she feels so nostalgic for that time, and she wished she appreciated it more when she used to live with her sisters. You know, things like that, where you don't appreciate it in the moment. I mean, you do appreciate it, but you don't appreciate it to its full extent, you know, until it's past you and you cannot get it back. So that's the cool thing about nostalgia. And that's the really interesting thing about nostalgia. But the thing is that I don't particularly feel nostalgic over my teen years. I've spoken about this briefly on the podcast. I've mentioned it. But I had quite traumatic teenage years. And I had to go through a lot of therapy to move past what had happened to me during my teenage years. And it was just a tough time. You know, it wasn't the worst time in the world, do not get me wrong, but it shaped the person who I was. And yeah, basically, so I didn't have the best teen years. So I'm like, why do I sometimes feel nostalgic for like the school experience? Why do I sometimes feel like, not necessarily sad, but like, sometimes I feel like, oh my God, when I realized that, like when I realized that I will never be a teenager again. And, you know, of course I feel nostalgic about certain things of being a teenager. Like, you know, when you get those TikToks that come up, that's like what it was like growing up British in the 2000s. And it's like all those different slideshows of like, you know, limited, like, discontinued sweets and the Sky Channels and, like, things like that, you know. Obviously, I get nostalgic for little things like that, but there's not a single teen, like, experience in my teens that I'm literally like, oh, I wish I could go back to that. That was so fun. Because I fucking hated being a teenager. It was dreadful. But I think that maybe I sort of get these feelings of like, you know, weirdness, feelings of like realization. I'm realizing things. It's the year of realizing things, guys. Because I guess maybe a part of me feels a little bit robbed. I think something which is absolutely worth noting is how much media is surrounded by the teen experience. And it makes a lot of sense because teenagers are some of the largest consumers of TV and media. And a lot of the time, people like writing about their teenage experience because it was their formative years. It was such a huge part of their life, and it's the reason why they are how they are today. But I think that I think that media being so teenage-centered and focused that sometimes it can make us feel like our teenage years were like the biggest part of our lives, and like that we should be able to go back. And I don't ever want to go back, but I guess a part of me, when I see, and it's honestly when I see like teenage related media, that I guess sometimes I feel, or not even necessarily teenage related media, I would say that it happens more when I talk to my friends who had really good like teenage experiences. Like, for example, when Lem tells me all these stories from school, when he tells me his stories from university, I used to get really angry and jealous. I'm lucky that through my years of therapy that I have moved past that phase in my life. But I felt this honestly huge, huge level of anger and jealousy towards him because he had a good teenhood and I didn't. And I felt so robbed. And I think that's something which maybe plays a theme in why I feel like a little bit like, oh my God, I will never be a teenager again. It is all gone, because I feel like I should have had a better experience. Do you know what I mean? I feel slightly robbed of my teen years. I'm lucky that I don't feel like that as much anymore. Like, I don't particularly care anymore. But I did used to feel like that like a year ago. I felt so robbed. Now I'm just like at this point of growth and healing that I'm like, it is what it is, and I have a good life now, so there's no point focusing on the past. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's really good, and I think that everyone should think like that. But I think, yeah, no, I definitely think one, and again, maybe another reason why people like get nostalgic for their teen years is because I think that, you know, I was really lucky where I felt really lost in my teenage years, and then I found myself in adulthood. You know, I was really lucky where I found a job and I fell into a career that I really, really liked, and it gave me the capability and the financial support and stability to be able to move out, to be able to live with my boyfriend, to be able to go to restaurants, go on nights out, like be able to live a very adult life, which unfortunately isn't the case for so many people. And I think that sometimes teen years can give you a sense of like stability. So you go to school every day, you are doing your GCSEs, you are doing your A levels, you are then going to go to university, you then might even do a doctorate or a PhD or a master's. You know, there is like this sense of structure, and there's this sense of like, you know your purpose. Like when you're a teenager, your purpose is to be someone's child. Your purpose is to be looked after, but also be able to discover and find yourself and go to school and make friends and maybe get into a relationship, you know, things like that. So, you know, that's what our teen years are for. We have structure, we have a purpose. And then all of a sudden, you are thrown out of school. And then a lot of the time people go to uni. And then after uni, you're like, oh, what the fuck do I do now? You know, and I think there's that craving of, you want that craving of structure again. You want that craving of, you know, what your purpose is. Because school teaches you all these different subjects. It gives you so many opportunities to be like, oh, you know what? I'm really good at maths. So I am going to go to university. I'm going to do maths A level and I'm going to go to university for maths. And of course, they will like give you career ideas. But school doesn't teach you what you want to be, because, or what your purpose in life should be, because school can't do that. School is incapable of doing that. You have to do it yourself. And that's something which can be really, really tough. You know, this is an experience which I don't particularly relate to, because I didn't go to university. I went straight into work. And I then worked in Starbucks, and then I was a beautician up until the pandemic. And then I did YouTube, and then I quit my job and I did YouTube full time. And that's what I do now. And I'm super, super lucky and grateful to be able to do that. But that sort of gave me the structure and the purpose, and I think that's, you know, when I see, you know, I see a lot of people online, who maybe did like, are like studying influencers, when their education ends, they're literally like, well, what do I do now? And that's like, I can completely understand why people feel that way. It must be such a hard experience to go through. So I understand why people sort of feel nostalgic for their teen years in that way. They sort of sense that they miss that structure, you know? And also when it comes to this whole, I'm a 25-year-old teenage girl. So I know that people are trying to say it's the Gen Z version of adulting, and maybe it is. I have never particularly said like, oh, I'm a 25-year-old teenage girl, but I do think it's funny. Like, I think I posted on my TikTok, like Jack was showing me his coming of age tunes and I was like, we are literally 24. But when it comes to this, I'm a 25-year-old teenage girl, this phenomenon of like, I'm just a teen girl, I'm 22, you know, things like that. I think that adulthood is changing our perception of and our reality of adulthood. So our perception of adulthood and our reality of adulthood does not match up. You know, I am honestly in the absolute minority of people who I got a stable enough job to be able to move out and to be able to live in a flat with my boyfriend, like things like that. I am in the very, very, very slim minority of people who were capable of doing that because of the job that I've landed myself in. A vast majority of people cannot do that, especially if you are from London. The rent. Like most of my friends who rent rooms pay between 700, not including bills, to over £1,000 for a single room. It's a lot. Like, it's a lot. And, you know, a lot of people can't afford to move out. Like, so many people can't afford to move out. So I think that, you know, like, you are almost, like, yes, you have a job, but you're still living at home and you are not as financially free as you thought you would be. That sometimes that's why it's like, my life is the exact same as I was when I was a teenager, except I'm just working now. And I think that's why a lot of people sort of feel like, oh, I still feel like a teenager, because their life is no different. You know, I think again, I'm one of the very few lucky people that was, you know, I could afford to move out, and I'm really, really grateful for that. But I do think that our generation was sold a dream in school that we would be capable of moving out and we would be capable of getting a well-paying job, because it's just not the reality. And I think that's led a lot of people to sort of still feel like teenagers. And again, I'm not trying to say that like living at home makes you a teenager, like not at all. Living at home, I mean, guys, I would still live at home if I could. I would love to live at home. The only reason why I moved out is because I basically got pushed to move out by my parents. Peace and love. Love you, John and Larissa. But I did get pushed to move out, and that is why I did move out. And I wish that I'd had a couple more years at home so I could save up, because I wasn't paying any rent. Like, oh my God, a dream. You know, I don't like, but I think that our perception of adulthood, the adulthood that we were sold in school, is so different from the reality of what adulthood really is, especially if you live in a city like London or even a city like Manchester. Manchester rent is going up like crazy. Cost of living is going up, you know. Yeah, so yeah, that's it basically. It feels so weird to record such a short episode, but I actually really enjoyed this. It's actually really fun. And I'd love to know you guys' thoughts in the comments. And yeah, leave a little bit of love and leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening on. And I will see you in a couple of weeks, because we're on our week break next week, a couple of weeks for a new episode. Bye.